Hello friends, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. Today we are studying day two of our crime article. My name is Campbell. It's great to have you here with us. And we have two friends here in the studio with us. We have Linda. Linda, are you enjoying this article?
I am. And you know, what's interesting is that there's still more to this mystery. Like, it's not solved completely.
That's right. Yeah. FBI has solved part of this mystery, the main part, who did it. But there are still some questions involved. All right. Albert, are you enjoying this article?
I am. I brought popcorn today. I hope our listeners are ready to join us and figure this out.
Yeah, it is kind of like we are watching a movie or a TV show right now. Okay, so let's review a little bit what happened. Okay, so in 2012, there was a heist, right? So where did this heist take place?
It took place in Riviera Beach, which is in Palm Beach County, Florida, at the old Garda Logistics Armored Truck Building. And there were two robbers who entered and stole $3 million.
Mm-hmm. So these two masked robbers with guns, okay, so they were armed, they drove up to this old Garda Logistics Armored Truck Building. And again, the armored truck is a truck that's used to transport money and valuables. And they drove up to this building and they stole a lot of money. And then they left all within 5 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. And the FBI they suspected it was an inside job.
That's right. Meaning that someone who is working at that company was involved in this process. Right. And it took them 4 years, but eventually they did find the three people that were involved. And indeed, it was an inside job, right? So who was the inside man here?
A man by the name of Towns, and he was actually an employee of the armored truck company. And he used to have a stellar reputation.
That's right, which means that a lot of people trusted him. And he was probably a great worker and a good citizen. So there was no indication that he would be a part of this crime. But somehow he got involved with the two robbers. And who were the two robbers, Albert?
The first guy is Wilder, and the second guy is Peterkind.
That's right. So they stole $3 million, and originally they were supposed to split it three ways evenly, so everybody gets $1 million, but there are some questions and some doubts and dispute about whether that actually happened. And there is one major question that they're still trying to figure out, and what is that?
What happened to all of the money? Some of the money is accounted for, but not all of it.
Right. So they bought lots of new clothes, gambled, and helped out associates, but the rest of the money vanished. Where did it go? Now, officials were able to start to solve this crime and kind of close in on Peterkind and Wilder based on the fact that they, in some ways, were committing fraud. And their previous felony records or criminal records were some of the investigative tactics that they were using to solve the robbery. All right. But the most significant breakthrough came 10 months after the heist. What happened then?
Well, Towns, you know, we were talking about this yesterday. It seems like, and it appears so, that he was super desperate. He attempted to rob another truck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he attempted to rob another Garda armored truck and tried to steal $1.5 million, but he was arrested and was stopped, and that kind of broke this case open, right? All right, so how did they go about solving this case? Okay, what were some of the clues that was tipping the authorities off? Let's find out. Okay, our article today is on page 43, so if you've got your magazine or your mobile device, please open to page 43 and join us there at the top of the page.
examining the evidence. Part of what broke this case open was they, investigators, had all this surveillance video and they couldn't understand what was going on because Mr. Towns didn't appear to be being robbed. He got hit over the head and tied up at the end of the raid, but it didn't look right, said Towns' lawyer, James Eisenberg. Assistant U.S. Attorney Aurora Fagan told a judge in court that the security video showed the robbers taking Towns' phone and pistol and forcing him to the ground near the entrance, where he stayed, even when they seemed distracted. We were all wondering, why didn't Mr. Towns get up and run away, if this was a genuine robbery, Fagan said.
So this is really interesting. We're getting an insight into the anatomy of how this job, this heist, actually took place, right? So part of what broke this case open was that the investigators had all this surveillance video. So these are, this is footage, camera, from the cameras, right? The security cameras in the building. And they couldn't understand what was going on. Why?
Well, we learned that Mr. Towns, he was on duty at the time the robbery took place, and the video showed that he didn't appear to be being robbed. So that was really suspicious.
Right. So it showed them coming in, it showed different things happening, but officials and authorities, they're used to seeing stuff like this, so they're kind of thinking something's a little off, right? And we hear from Towns' lawyer, he's a defense lawyer, James Eisenberg, and he said that he, being Mr. Towns, got hit over the head and tied up at the end of the raid, but it didn't look right. So something was off, right? Now, Assistant U.S. Attorney Aurora Fagan told a judge in court that the security video showed the robbers taking Towns' phone and pistol and forcing him to the ground near the entrance where he stayed even when they seemed distracted.
Yeah, so the question is, why, when he had an opportunity, didn't he try to get away?
Right.
If the robbers were obviously occupied, maybe not paying attention to him because he wasn't tied up at that time.
Right. So it seemed like the way they planned this heist was that they were going to pretend, right, that they were kind of robbing Mr. Towns.
Right.
It seems like that was the plan, that he would, you know, open the door or they would break in, quote unquote.
Right.
And they would make it look like they were robbing him. And so he was supposed to play along. And so it's kind of hard because, I mean, you've never done a crime before, so you don't really know how someone's going to behave if they're going to be robbed, right? Maybe if they thought about it, I'm going to run away. You know, and maybe that would have been a more perfect crime.
Right, it's more believable.
Yeah, so there's something unbelievable. That's a good word. There's something unbelievable about the video that they were watching. And so they were starting to ask questions, right? And so this kind of really tipped them off, and they started realizing, hey, there's something weird going on here. All right. Now, there's a question that we've been asking over the past 2 days, and that is why Mr. Towns, after getting away, quote unquote, with this first crime, would go and then attempt a second crime. And that is actually what helped to break this case open.
Right.
Right? So why would he attempt a robbery a second time? Well, this next section answers that. Let's take a look.
Why attempt a robbery a second time? Towns, who was running his own car detailing business, blamed the attempted robbery on life's pressures. The hardships of owning a business and the things that you have to do to stay afloat. It led me to a mental breakdown of trying to raise kids and have a stable business, Towns told the judge. How the FBI worked it out. FBI officials would not comment on details of their investigation, but court records reveal authorities were honing in on Peterkine and Wilder by arresting them for lesser offenses that could be swiftly proven. Investigators arrested Peterkine and his wife on fraud allegations. Wilder, a convicted drug dealer, was arrested for violating his supervised release by failing to disclose he had bought a West Palm Beach home and a car.
So, why did he attempt a robbery a second time? Well, Towns, again, he used to work at the Garda Logistics armored truck. He quit, and then he started to run his own car detailing business, right? So this is a business that helps people to wash and clean cars and decorate cars. And what did he blame the attempted robbery on?
Life's pressures.
Right. So the hardships of owning a business and the things that you have to do to stay afloat. And it led him to have a mental breakdown of trying to raise kids and have a stable business. So basically he went crazy.
Well, that's what he's claiming.
To the judge. Maybe it could be for pity. That's what he's selling or telling us, at least.
Right. So just basically, he was feeling a lot of pressure. He had to raise kids, and he was trying to keep his business running, and there were a lot of pressures involved in that. And so he was just, well, what can we do? What can I do to kind of relieve this pressure? Well, I know, I'm going to go commit a robbery.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, hundreds of thousands or millions of people have the same pressures of raising kids and running a business. You know, they don't turn to crime or robbing armored vehicles.
It goes back to that saying, if the only tool you have in your chest is a hammer, everything looks like a nail to you, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. And I mean, maybe he's thinking, well, hey, I kind of got away with the last crime. Maybe I can do it again.
Like Linda mentioned yesterday.
Hey, FBI, I just had a thought. Maybe that's where his money went. His new car detail.
Whoa. Hello. Send us a letter, FBI.
All right. So
but he's the one that probably got an unequal share.
Yeah.
Like the lesser amount.
Right.
So that wouldn't be where the bulk of the money would have been
put
into.
All right, so he was feeling a lot of pressure involving running his own business and the things that he needed to do to stay afloat to keep his business running. And so he decided to commit a second crime. And that's actually what was one of the biggest breaks in this crime, right? And led the officials to the authorities to be able to arrest him. So, how did the FBI work it out? What does it say here in this article?
Well, let's first look at that that phrase, work it out. It means to figure something out or solve it. So, the FBI, they were working to solve this case. And they can't comment on details, of course, on their investigation, but court records reveal that they were honing in on Peterkine and Wilder by arresting them for lesser offenses that could be swiftly proven. So this is part of the tactic that the authorities used. So arrest them, convict them, and prove that they did these lesser offenses so that then they could pursue them for this bigger offense.
Right. It goes back to what you mentioned before, Campbell, which is like innocent until proven guilty. They can't just like knock down doors, go through their records, their bank records and stuff like that without proof.
Yeah. So they are suspecting these two men for committing this crime, but they don't have any solid evidence to come against them. And so their tactic or their strategy is to charge them for these lesser offenses. And we talked about some of them yesterday, right? So the idea of fraud. So they're lying and they're living in public housing while they are actually able to afford other housing or they have other assets. Now, Peterkine and his wife were arrested on fraud allegations. An allegation is a statement which has not been proved to be true, which says that someone has done something wrong or illegal. And then Wilder is a convicted drug dealer, was arrested for violating his supervised release by failing to disclose he had bought a West Palm Beach home and a car. So he had been arrested previously for dealing drugs, and he needed to let officials and authorities know that he had property, right?
Right, and this particular property, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Palm Beach, you probably maybe have heard about it, but it's not too far from where I live in Miami. Oh. It's in South Florida, but Palm Beach area is a pretty exclusive, it's
affluent.
Affluent area. So if he could afford to buy a Palm Beach home and a car to go with that home, probably a luxury car, then yeah, he had some serious assets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what happened was, you know, usually in the States at least, when you're a criminal, it depends on the crime you did, you will have supervisors after you leave prison, and you have to check in, and so they can make sure you're not doing bad things again. And so Wilder, he has a supervisor, and he just didn't check in with him.
Right, and the fact that he didn't let his supervisor know that he had bought this home in this wealthy area and this nice car, I guess that's kind of a thing that he needs to let them know in case, like, well, hey, you know, how did you afford this nice home and car?
But the problem with, if he had let them know, he would just have been like a earlier, like, smoke signals, like, oh, well, definitely, how can you come about affording this?
Right, yeah, so there needs to be an explanation of where did this house and this car come from? And so, you know, as a criminal, I can understand why he didn't.
Yes.
Right, but this was what allowed them to further pursue him on the bigger charge
of
heist.
So he kind of broke his agreement, right?
Yes.
That he would report to his supervisor. All right, so let's look at this last section here. Crime doesn't pay.
Crime doesn't pay. In an indictment issued in 2015, Peter Kine, 38, Wilder, 42, and Towns, 30, were charged in the armored truck depot heist. Towns was sentenced to 6.5 years in federal prison, which he must serve after completing the 14-year term for his failed armed robbery. He also owes more than $3 million in restitution. Peter Kine and Wilder, who pleaded guilty to robbery charges, are facing 30 years in federal prison.
All right, so we come to this phrase again, crime doesn't pay. What does that mean, Albert?
After 2 days, we come back to this in full circle, and we're concluding with it. Crime doesn't pay, it's an idiom, and it's to emphasize that you believe that criminals are always punished for their crimes, or a lesson learned, like, hey, you shouldn't do crime because it does
It's
work.
Not worth it.
It's not worth
it. It might seem like a tempting option, and I guess for Towns it was, because he was desperate, and he wanted to find a way to raise his family and keep his business. So he
I'm
went
gonna
this
rob.
Well, I mean, like, yeah, like Linda mentioned succinctly earlier, it was just like, hey, you know, everyone deals with money issues, and you don't go and rob people or armored trucks. That's not your only possible solution. And we just heard Carolyn Reed, how, like, hey, wow, now they have, like, years in prison, their sentence, and they also owe restitution as well.
That's right. So, in this indictment, and an indictment is formal criminal charges issued against someone. Now, this word is kind of hard to read. Okay, that C there is kind of silent, so indictment, and it was issued in 2015. Peter Kine, Wilder, and Towns were charged. So they're being accused of this armored truck deposit heist. So what is the punishment that they've all received? Let's talk about Towns first. What was the punishment Towns received?
He's been sentenced to 6.5 years in federal prison. And in addition to a 14-year term for his failed armed robbery. So 14 years for the crime he did on his own, and then 6.5 years for the crime he did with Peter Kine and Wilder.
Right. So a total of 20.5 years.
Right. And surprisingly, he was slapped with the $3 million in restitution. I thought it would be split among the three people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, they might need to pay their own restitution.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is just for him.
Right. So restitution is to make up for a wrong that was done by paying money. Okay, so he's got to pay these $3 million, and he's got 20.5 years in prison. And 6.5 years makes sense. He got less of a charge because he didn't actually do the robbing
the first time. Yes.
Right? He was kind of just an accessory, which is another crime term. An accessory is just someone who was involved in the crime but didn't actually necessarily carry it out.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, I can see how it's appropriate because he made it happen. He made the whole...
He allowed it to happen, but he didn't actually do the crime.
Yeah, and even if he didn't get a fair split, or even if it was fairly split amongst the three of them, he allowed the whole thing to happen. So $3 million in restitution makes sense.
Right, yeah, yeah. Okay, so he is getting 20.5 years in prison for his two crimes, and Peter Kine and Wilder, they pleaded guilty to robbery charges, meaning that they admitted that mm-hmm. they did the crime. Now they are facing how long in prison?
30 years.
Right. That's 30 years in federal prison. That's almost as long as I've been alive. You know?
And all for what? 4 years of looking over your shoulder.
Right.
Thinking that you got away, but you're still living in public housing and not fully enjoying life.
Yeah. So Peter Kine is 38 and Wilder 42. So by the time they get out, they're going to be old men, right?
Yeah.
Peter Kine's going to be 68. Wilder will be 72. Towns is 30 when he was arrested. And so 20.5 is 50. So he'll be 50 years old when he gets out of prison.
Yeah.
So crime doesn't pay, guys.
No, it doesn't.
Don't rob trucks.
I mean, if you can try to put yourself into, you know, the mind of these criminals, or at least Towns, and, you know, imagine his desperate circumstances. I mean, we all feel desperate at certain times, and we might feel tempted, you know, to rob a bank. It probably goes through your head,
know.
You know?
I don't know, Linda. I've never been tempted to rob a bank.
But, I mean, you'd never actually do it.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
No, I understand what Linda means. I mean, there's like these what-ifs we think about, right?
Yeah.
Flights of fantasy or whatnot. But,
Those are scaring me.
No, but someone who's in a really desperate situation, you know, like someone who is don't have any other alternatives or they
to
don't
them.
Feel that
to
way.
Them. Yes.
Yeah. Then, you know, I can kind of see. But then again, yeah, I don't know what makes them actually carry it out because that's a big step between thinking about it and then doing it.
Yeah, and I mean, I think about the fact that Towns, he's got kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when he gets out of prison, his kids are going to be grown.
Yeah, he's going to miss out on them growing up.
Yeah, like 20 years, that's like a whole lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and his mindset from the get-go was like, oh, this is for my kids.
Right.
I have two kids. But in the end, he actually robbed himself of providing for his kids and being there for his kids in other ways.
I mean, imagine like when you go in, your kids are young,
mm-hmm.
and then when you get out, your kids are going to be grown
adults,
and mm-hmm. they probably have kids of their own, you
right.
know.
So, which reemphasizes our bottom line: crime doesn't pay.
Crime doesn't pay, but it's always interesting to see how these crimes are solved, right?
Yeah, and I feel like we romanticize bank robberies a little bit. I feel like,
sure,
especially
Hollywood
and
TV, and yeah, well, we learned a lot of good words involving crimes over the past couple of days. We learned about a heist, right? Let's review. What is a heist?
It's a robbery where valuable things are taken, and there may or may not be violence involved.
Right.
But it's usually of a well-planned scheme and more complicated.
A more elaborate robbery kind of way. Right, and we talked about an inside job, which is kind of a crime that occurs with someone from the inside involved, right? So let's say there is a home that was robbed. If you say there's an inside job, that maybe someone who lived in that home was involved.
Or worked in there. Yeah,
or worked in the home, mm-hmm. was involved in that process, right? And we talked about prosecutors. Prosecutors are lawyers that prove people are guilty. And what is the opposite of a prosecutor?
A defense lawyer.
Right. So they're the ones that defend the criminals. Okay. And we also talked about...
Indictment.
Indictment. That's right. That's a good word. Indictment. So when you're indicted for something, you're being charged formally for criminal activity. All right. So a lot of interesting words and a very, very interesting story. We hope that... Peter Kine, Wilder, and Towns learned their lesson.
Yeah.
Crime doesn't pay.
Well, they have years and years to
ponder upon it.
That's right. Okay, so friends, remember, crime doesn't pay. All right, well, we are reaching the end of today's article, and we are reaching the end of this year. This is the second to last day of 2016. Can you believe how fast time has passed? Well, tomorrow we have a really interesting article about the new year and how we can plan for a better new year. So we hope that you will join us again tomorrow. As always, check out our QR code and write to us. Let us know what you think of the lesson that you studied today. All right, friends, take care of yourselves. Have a great rest of the year and have a great new year. Take care, everyone. Bye.